John's going to bring us the word now, but I don't want to rush on from where God has brought us when we don't have to. You know, listening to the word of God is also worship. So let's keep worshiping God. Let's keep our hearts reverent before him as we hear the message that's been prepared for us today.
Seamless. Good morning. Before I introduce what I'm going to be talking about, I thought I might better just introduce my shirt. I really admire John's shirts, and so I went to anointedpreachersshirts.com and found this. So we'll see if it works. Some feedback at the end, you know, would be great. Thank you. You're an inspiration, John. So, recently, and I'm sure you'll all identify with this, people were telling me their stories of woe, problems they've had, either lost a job or money problems, whatever they are, cars broken down. And other people are saying to me, oh, an amazing week, you know, and all this is going on in our lives all the time. And I think, well, what's happening here? It's this world we live in. So I'd like to begin today just by asking you a question. And this is the question. Who would like to be blessed by God? Yep, I think that's all of you, most of you. So now I'm going to ask a question. What does it actually... You don't need to answer this one. What does it actually mean to be blessed by God? What does it mean to be blessed by God? Does it mean that when we have lots of money in a big bank account, we're blessed? Does it mean if you live in a big house and you drive a big car, you're blessed? Does it mean you got that new job you've been hankering after? You were blessed. Does it mean having amazing spiritual gifts? Seeing frogs eating spaghetti, maybe, you know. You're really blessed. And of course, all those things are true. You would be blessed with those things. But it got me thinking, if you flip that over, does it mean that if you don't have those things, you're not blessed? And if that's the case, is being blessed like a lottery? Is it like buying a lottery ticket? Winners and losers. He's blessed. He lives in a nice big house. She's not blessed. She only lives in a flat. He's blessed. He's got a really good job. He's not blessed. He's just lost his job. So, you know, what is all this about? If that was true, you know, being blessed would definitely be a lottery. You know, what mood is God in today? Is he going to bless him or not bless him? That would be a dreadful way to live, wouldn't it, if that was true? And in today's culture, one of the man's greatest desires is the constant striving for happiness. It's everywhere. Be happy. That's what life is all about. As long as we're happy, companies offer the promise of happiness if we buy their products. So what about if we substitute the word blessed for happy? Would that work? So I found some adverts. Here we are. Coca-Cola, only 140 calories. That's going to make you happy. He's not very happy because he hasn't got any HP sauce. Heinz, where there's happy, it has to be Heinz. Well, that's got to be good, hasn't it? What have we got here? Money cannot buy happiness. Hey, how true is that? But if you eat Nutella, well, it's the same thing really, isn't it? You know, so that might work. What else have we got here? Ah, money. Oh, it does buy you happiness. Look, there's the proof. Money plus more money will make us happy. You go to this bar, you can be happy all day long, not just for an hour. 8 pints of lager and you'll be as happy as they come. Oh, McDonald's Happy Meal. Ooh, what kid doesn't get happy with one of those? So what... I deserve to be happy. That's the cry of the world. We deserve to be happy. If only we're happy, life will be fantastic. Let's see where I'm going with this now. I don't think that's true. But it's easy to confuse being happy with being blessed. Blessedness produces in us an inner joy. It's deep within us. It's like a buried treasure. It's untouchable. Happiness comes and goes depending on your mood and your circumstances. And how much Nutella you can eat, it would appear. So just to make that point, I've paraphrased some verses here. Happy is the man who walks not in the counsel of the wicked, nor stands in the way of sinners. Happy is the one whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Or even if you should suffer for righteousness' sake, you'll be happy. Something that just doesn't cut it, does it? So let's not confuse happiness with being blessed. So we can kind of park happiness to one side. It's certainly not what we should be striving for as citizens of the kingdom. So the real question then is, how do we walk in God's blessing each and every day? How can every day be a blessing, irrespective of the circumstances that are affecting us? When does blessing cease to be something of chance and become a way of life? Well, to get the answer, I did a bit of research and I came across an amazing sermon. It was so incredible. It's so life-changing, and it's without shame that I'm using that sermon for the basis of this preach. No, it wasn't one of yours, John, sorry. And to be honest, when I read it, what I discovered was pretty shocking. It wasn't what I expected at all. And at the beginning of his earthly ministry, Jesus preached the Sermon on the Mount. And it began with the Beatitudes. And it's in the Beatitudes that he explains to us the secrets of obtaining true godly blessedness. And you know what? There wasn't any mention of big houses, big well-paid jobs, fast cars, or even spiritual gifts. None of that came into it. Quite the opposite. Now, if you're like me, you've probably read the Beatitudes at some point, and then you thought, well, what does that all mean? And are they relevant for the church today? And initially, I was going to preach on the Beatitudes today, and I was preparing my preach, and then I realised we're just not going to have the time. So today is simply an introduction to the Beatitudes. You'll be relieved to know. The word beatitude comes from a medieval Latin word, beatus, and the Roman Catholic Church use it when they're making somebody who's lived a very holy life a saint, and they call that the process of beatification, and it just means blessed. Beatus is that medieval Latin word for blessed. So we find the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew's 5, 6 and 7. But all the scripture I'm using will be on the overhead today. So I just want to put it in its setting. The Sermon of the Mount occurred in Judea, probably near Capernaum. And it was right at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, around 28 AD. He's just chosen his 12 disciples. And at this time, Judea is under Roman occupation. And the citizens of Judea are treated just like possessions. Taxes were high, prejudice was prevalent and slavery was rampant. There were several Jewish cults. There were the Zealots. They wanted to overthrow the Romans. Barabbas was a zealot. He was the one they released when Jesus was crucified. Then we have the Sadducees. They denied the resurrection of the dead, and they also denied the existence of angels. Then we have the Pharisees. They did believe in the resurrection of the dead. They did believe in angels, but they argued whether the resurrection of the dead really included the flesh. And Paul was a Pharisee before his Damascus Road conversion. And I came across this little fact. The Pharisees are the spiritual fathers of modern day Judaism. So in the midst of all this turmoil, we have a lowly Galilean carpenter going around preaching a message of hope and healing people. And he's the talk of the town. Everyone wants a piece of the action. And we read in Matthew 5 that he has a great crowd following him, probably thousands of people, all of them desperate to hear what he's got to say, hanging on to his every word. So seeing this huge crowd, Jesus goes up the side of a mountain and sits down. He's created like an amphitheatre effect. But before he speaks to the crowd at large, he takes his disciples to one side for a little pep talk. And that pep talk are the Beatitudes. So I'm just going to go now Matthew 5, 1 to 10. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of God." And the Sermon of the Mount is the longest message we have in the Gospels that Jesus ever preached. Up to this point, he's been announcing that the kingdom of heaven is at hand, but now in the Beatitudes, he's unveiling the foundations and character of life in the kingdom. They point to a quality of righteousness that characterize the citizens of the kingdom. He makes it clear to his followers that we are to be noticeably different to other people, that we should hold to a much higher standard of conduct. And when we do these things, we'll be rewarded by being blessed. Have you ever bought a piece of gold or silver and then checked to see whether it's got a hallmark? Now, the hallmark certifies the standard of purity. The hallmark says, this is genuine, it's not a cheap copy. The hallmark sets it apart from the mass market. And as citizens of the kingdom, we too should be set apart. As followers of Christ, we're supposed to be different. The hallmark of Jesus on our lives guarantees a standard of purity. It says that we're set apart. We don't just conform to the world, to the mass market. True Christianity is countercultural. And the Bible tells us this: we have been set apart as holy to the Lord. We are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession. We shouldn't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewal of our minds. We should put on the new self, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. And the Beatitudes explain to us exactly how we should be different. And we can use the Beatitudes as a self-examination tool to see how we measure up. Are we willing to love when the world hates? Are we willing to give when the world takes? Are we willing to show mercy when the world condemns? Are we willing to show compassion when the world judges? Are we willing to be like that? The Beatitudes are all about our attitudes, how we think, the very things that make us different, the things that set us apart from the world. And each Beatitude comes with a blessing, but they're not a pick and mix. We have to take them as a whole. You can't just choose the ones you like and disregard the rest. So, I haven't planned this, but as a little test, who could, at a stretch, recite the Lord's Prayer? Yeah, most of you could. Who could come up with the Ten Commandments, given enough time? Yeah, quite a few of you. Who knows the Beatitudes? One, two, three. Thank you. Four. Yep. Exactly. I think it's fair to say that in today's church, the Beatitudes seem to have fallen out of use. So what I want to do is kind of get them out the cupboard, brush the dust off, polish them up and put them back up and say, hey guys, you know, these are important. We need to take notice of these things. And I think the big challenge for us and the challenge for the church is to value what God values. Stop valuing and admiring people for their wealth or their status, their big cars or big jobs. Easy to do. But these things have no value in the sight of God. And the Beatitudes are far more than just a set of rules that we need to obey. They're not like the Ten Commandments. But what they do is describe what life would be like when we are truly Christ-like. And Jesus, his life on earth, was the very embodiment of the Beatitudes. The Greeks have a word, Makarios. Makarios means blessed. And they use the same word to describe Cyprus, which is nicknamed the Happy Isle. Now the Greeks believed that Cyprus was so beautiful, so rich in resources, that a person would never have to leave the island because everything they need for happiness is contained on the island. And Makarios can be used to describe the joy that has its secret within itself, a joy that's untouchable. It's self-contained, it's hidden, it's buried within us. And it's completely independent of external circumstances. And it describes the kind of joy that we can experience when we walk in God's blessing each and every day. When we stop relying on circumstances for our joy, and when blessing becomes a way of life. I began this preach by asking the question, who wants to be blessed by God? And I just want to summarise by saying, if that was you that put your hand up, it's God's intention that all of us walk in his blessing each and every day. And there's nothing wrong with being happy, of course, but we mustn't confuse being happy with being blessed. Walking in his blessing brings a deep and lasting joy into our lives. And the Beatitudes explain how God's blessing can become a way of life. We should be asking the Holy Spirit, what does it mean to be poor in spirit? What does it mean to be meek? What does it mean to mourn? What does it mean to be a peacemaker? How does that bring blessing into our lives? Going forward in the next instalment of this preach, I'm going to be looking at the Beatitudes and trying to unpack their meaning and get an understanding of how they apply to us and apply to the church. But maybe in the meantime, if you can find the time, Matthew 5, if you can read the Beatitudes and get familiar with them, get them out the cupboard, dust the dust off them, polish them up and put them on a shelf where you can look at them. And I'll finish by saying, if you've never taken that step and asked the Lord into your life, and you've never experienced and discovered Macarius for yourself, but then don't leave without speaking to me or John or somebody here. We'd love to speak to you about that. So, thank you. Amen.
Thank you, John. Worship team, could you give us your services again, please?